but I really love her. Now let's do something about that. Okay? Part of which might be getting rid of nuclear weapons. Okay? But you're doing it from a totally different motivation, and there is a lot more power and strength in that kind of motivation. Okay, so in your personal lives, you look at it too. Okay? And you think in these terms. All right. Let's see. At this point, any questions? We are talking with mind as motivation. I've given you some ways to use it, to look for it in your life, to examine belief systems, to check your attitude, show you the effect that it has on the part of the subconscious in terms of using motivation or thinking about it. Do we have any questions? Okay. Thank you. All right. Good. All right. Let's have our break. I guess it's for lunch. Do you have something to say about that?
Yeah.
Good.
Sure. Is there a question? There's a question.
Okay. Let's go out with questions.
You talked about the criticism, self-criticism.
Yes.
Is the effect the same if you're in an environment of people that are always constantly criticizing you, and if so, how do you handle that with your subconscious?
Okay, in the same way, if people are constantly criticizing you, let's see. Let me show you. Volunteer. Look, come on up. Okay. All right. Put your arm out. Okay. Now, when I resist, hold it. When I say resist, resist. Okay? Put your arm up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're really too short. Resist. Now, put your arm up. Okay? When I want you to keep a running commentary now inside, okay? That I'm really okay. I'm really good. I'm really okay. I'm really good. I'm really okay. I'm really good. Do that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, you're really too short. Resist.
It's a little stronger anyway.
Yes, that's right. See? And with practice, that builds up. If you have a continually good idea about yourself, it won't matter what other people say. They won't be able to affect you. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Great, thank you.
Good. Okay. Do we have any other questions? Yes.
Do you have a brochure or a flyer on your booth on what you offer?
Okay, yes, but not here. Okay, I will send some up and be glad to. Just briefly, I'll throw something in on that. I think it's a good time. I'm talking with Stan and Lana now about doing a course up here. We have a shaman training course. And the shaman training course is 7 months, and we're talking about doing that course up here, in which I would come up one full day a month, and then there would be 2 weeks later a gathering and a get-together to reinforce and review the things that were learned on that practice until the next time I come up. And we would do this over the seven-month period. And there's a couple things about that. First of all, it's shaman training, and you get a certificate that says you've completed so many hours, but you don't get certified as a shaman. No one can do that for you. Okay? A shaman is the person who finally comes to that realization that they're a shaman. But what we also have as part of that program is, for somebody who wants it, if you take the shaman course, you complete the shaman course, you have the possibility of becoming an alakai in the order of Hun International. And that's the equivalent to a minister. Hun International is a non-sectarian religious order in California, nonprofit. And this would allow you, if you wanted to practice that shaman and help spread it out among the world, that knowledge and technique. It primarily is concerned with self-development, this course, self-development and working with the subconscious, including, you know, the subconscious of other people and yourself. Okay, so you would get techniques that you could use in a therapeutic or a helping situation. Okay. All right. But I'll send up some stuff about the other classes and kinds of things we have. Any other questions? Yes. Accountability? You mean like responsibility? Oh, okay. I'm going to give you the point of view point on this. Okay. Responsibility, first of all, okay, because that's part of that. All right. You are responsible only for what you can respond to. Responsibility means your ability to respond. So you cannot be responsible for someone else's happiness. You have no control over that whatsoever. There's no way you can be responsible for their happiness. You can decide to do things that may increase their happiness based on what you know about them, but there's no way you can be responsible for it. So you can't be responsible for hurting someone else's feelings either. You cannot respond for them. Only they can create their feelings. You can, however, do things consciously and knowingly. And here's where we get into accountability and sort of a karma thing. If you know their weaknesses and you know their programs and where their problems are at, you can purposely do something to trigger those off. It's still their feelings, and they create the hurt, but you've purposely done something to generate that, you know, based on your knowledge of them, although they could fool you. The responsibility is still the responsibility of what your responses are. The accountability, the karma, is only that you will, in some form, get back what you put out. Let's talk about this word karma. It's a Sanskrit word. It means action, basically. By extension, it means reaction. It does not mean debt. It does not mean punishment. It has nothing to do with that. It means action and it means reaction. Karma is when you step off a cliff and fall down. Okay? Karma is instant and immediate in this world. Karma is when you stay on the sun too long and get sunburned. Karma is when you punch somebody and they punch you back. Okay? Karma is when you try and build hate and your bitterness in yourself for someone else and you get an ulcer. Okay? Karma is the action and reaction that follows the natural laws of the world. It is not a debt that you carry on over from lifetime to lifetime. In the Hoon understanding, all time is simultaneous. Those lifetimes are occurring right now. Okay? So there's no debt to carry over. Right? There's no debt. But you will get the effects of your beliefs. That's what karma is. You will get the effects of your thinking and the effects of your actions. That's what karma is. And that's the Hoon understanding of it. Okay. Now, we in Huna, we have the idea we use a one ethic for all our actions, and that's love. You see, the Kahunas are very, very practical people. We don't use love because it's nice to be loving. Because it's a good idea, you know, because somebody said we should be loving. We use love because it works better than anything else. Okay? It is the most practical ethic. You get the best results from it. Some people talk in karma in terms of somebody over here is ill and they don't know whether they ought to heal him or not because, you know, they might be interfering with their karma. There's no way you can interfere with somebody else's karma. Who do you think you are? Okay? They got their high selves creating their life and their effects and their events, and you're going to interfere with that? The very fact that they're in your environment and you are aware of them includes them in your karma. Okay? Because they would not even be in your life at all if there weren't something there. And you could not even think of the possibility of healing them unless there were a possibility of doing it. Now, with the karma idea and the Huna idea, if they're there, you have an ability of healing, the thought arises to your mind, do it. They could reject it. They could decide for whatever their reasons are that they don't want the healing. And you know what happens? Your subconscious takes it personally. And you get the healing effect anyway, whether they take it or not. See? So yes, you created the karma of sending out a healing thought. They may get healed or they may not get healed, but you will be better. Because you've created the thought. You cannot send out anything that's not inside you. People who are doing what might be termed evil or bad or terrible actions, regardless of what their basis for doing that might be, are getting the effects of those inside themselves. And the people they are hurting are people who, for whatever reason in their belief system, are allowing or attracting that. Now, it doesn't mean we don't have compassion for them, because they're not doing it on purpose. They don't know what they're doing. But they are also receiving the effects of their thoughts. And as we learn more and more about this and become more skilled and confident, we can help to change that so they understand they don't have to keep putting up with that. But that's not an obligation. That's a choice. And doing it as choice makes it loving. And that makes it more effective. You don't have to develop and grow in the ways that we're suggesting here. You can do it out of choice, and it'll be more effective and more productive for you and more loving. That's an overall view of the karma. Does that help? Okay. Any other questions before we start? All right, let's move on to imagination. Make yourselves comfortable. Put your notes down. Do an experience here. What I'd like you to do is put your arms like this out in front of you and close your eyes. And I'd like you to imagine around your right wrist, there's a string, and that string is tied to a 20-foot helium balloon moving upward into the sky. Forget about your wrist and think of the balloon. That balloon is rising up higher and higher and higher into the sky. And around your left wrist is a cord with a 5-pound lead weight. And lead is heavy. And think of how heavy lead is. Imagine that lead weight, the feel of it, the heaviness of it. And now open your eyes. Look at your hand. Okay. You'll see a lot of differences there. The degree of movement will depend on the degree of tension you have in your shoulders. Okay? If you have a lot of tension held in your shoulders, for whatever reason, your arms will move less. Okay? Some cases it might not seem at all, but there'll be some movement. If you have less tension in your shoulders, you just might, you know, be like that. Okay? Well, what happened was that your imagination affected your subconscious. Your subconscious created the movement. Okay? Imagination has a powerful effect on the subconscious. Such a powerful effect that your subconscious really doesn't distinguish between different kinds of images. So you can do things with your imagination that produce very remarkable effects. What's happening here is I'm trying to decide whether to take you right into another experience or not, and I think I will. Let's do another experience. And after the experience, I can explain more what happened. This time, just make yourself comfortable, take a deep breath, close your eyes. I want you to imagine that you are on a sailing ship. Oh, in the 1800s, one of those old big sailing ships. And you're in the South Pacific. And you're on the ship and you are moving in to the lagoon, to the channel, to the island of Bora Bora. And you can feel the ship as it's moving. Your feet are on the deck, your hands are on the rail, made of good teak wood. The wind is flapping the sails a little bit. You can feel the breeze against your cheek. There's some gulls and other seabirds that are crying and circling around. You can sense the slight swell of the ship and then the quietness as it moves into that still lagoon water. Fish, multicolored, beautiful fish in those clear waters of the lagoon are down there. And you can smell a sense of perfume, of flowers flowing off the island. And you can hear some drums. A very strange kind of rhythm that are playing in the island over there. Really get the feel of that, the sounds and the sensations. Okay, Come on back, please. Sometimes I find some people don't want to come back from there at all. Okay. Now, I'd like you to remember something that you did last week. Okay. You might have had a meal, you might have gone someplace, you might have talked with somebody. Just remember it. You don't have to completely recreate it in your mind. Just remember it. Now, remember this experience that we just did on Bora Bora. Now, remember this event from last week. Remember Bora Bora, the event from last week. Can anybody tell me, not in terms of content, in terms of a calling back a memory, any difference between the two? As memory.
Well, the one, the Bora Bora one was more sensual.
That's content.
That's content.
That's content, right.
What was your question?
As memory, any difference between the two? Not in terms of content, because sure, that would be different. Okay, you might have had a real sensual experience last week that would have had more content. Okay? Okay, with every memory? With breakfast yesterday? Okay. Okay. But did you notice a difference as a memory? Recalling one was just as easily as recalling the other, right? Partly that, yes, right. But there it is in your mind, one memory is in your mind, and then the other memory is in your mind, right? There's no difference as memory. And that's what's important. Your subconscious does not distinguish memories. Once an event has happened, it goes into the same library. And it's all in there. And you can recall one out of that library just as easily as the other, and the subconscious doesn't make any distinction. Now, what that means is when you are acting in this world today based on memory of previous events, it's very selective, okay? Because you have memory of all kinds of previous events, including all the books and books you've read and the movies you've seen and the imaginary daydreams you've had. All of that is in there as experience that can be called on. And your subconscious does not distinguish. Now that means that you can create an experience so vivid that it becomes a strong memory, and your subconscious will relate to it with your mental direction, will relate to it to create a skill or an effect in the present moment. Now some practical ways in which this is done. And then some little different ones that also work. As I was explaining over lunch with some people, my oldest son, for the past 4 years, has been Hapkido Karate Champion, middleweight class, international champion. And we'd always train and use mental work. But what he did this time, this last time, more so than before, he trained 2 hours physically for that tournament. And spent the whole rest of the time mental training. Going through the moves, going through the kicks with his full imagination and winning every time in his imagination. Doing it all perfectly in his imagination and went in there and won. Okay. He had to train all physically. That wasn't it. That's not what it does. The physical training does nothing except you convince your subconscious that you can do something. Well, if you can use your mental training to convince yourself that you can do something, it works just as well. In Black Belt magazine this past summer, there was an article on the training that the Russians did for the Olympics that we never sent anybody to. And they, in preparation for those Olympics, they put four teams and they tested out these various ways of training. They, in the first team, just did pure physical training. And the second team did 25% mental and 75% physical. The third team did 50, half and half. And the third team did 75% mental training and 25% physical training. That's the team that they sent to the Olympics. Because that's the team that did better than any of the others. The mental training based on imagined experience Because in your imagined experience, you can create the situation exactly the way that you want it to be. And you can train your subconscious into doing exactly what you want it to do. If you can't imagine it, you can't do it. In imagination, you will run up right against the limits of your own self-image. An example of that, we have a kind of, I guess you could call it a dream therapy, where we have a person go over their dreams and then redo the dreams. And that changes the effects of the dreams and gives some new information to the subconscious. But in this one case, a woman had a dream in which she was, you know, walking out of a building and two men in these big black outfits grabbed her, threw her in the car, tied her up, and jumped in the car and drove off with her. So I said, okay, obviously theirs is a feeling of powerlessness, real strong one. I said, in your imagination, you're sitting in the back seat, break the bonds, reach over in front of the seat, crack their heads together, throw them out of the car, take the driver's seat, and drive off. She couldn't do it. She tried with her imagination as best she could, but it would not come together as an image, as an experience. And that's because the dream was an image of her present self-worth, her self-image, her sense of power, and she couldn't break through that in that moment. She kept at it. It took that particular woman, she wasn't doing a lot of other stuff, but it took that particular woman 6 months before she was able to do that in her imagination. And that was a sign of the development of her own self-image. So you will, in these images and these things that you want to do, come up against the limits of your self-image with an exception. Subconscious is very clever. Because it has a sense of where the beliefs really are and what's really going to affect it and what isn't. And the things that don't affect it, it can shunt them off into a kind of another section of your mind. So you can imagine, let's say we're talking prosperity, you can imagine probably quite easily, okay, having a room with gold coins and dollar bills showering down on top of you and, you know, filling up and trucks loads of money coming and all kinds of beautiful items coming in and receiving all kinds of gifts from all over the world and having all kind, you know, all these kinds of guided images that take you through this magnificent, wonderful stuff. And you can find that fun and easy and it feels good. And your subconscious says, yeah, that's fun. And that's it, you know. But when you get to imagining getting a raise at work, you might find you can't even imagine it. See? Where it really starts to get to a position. See, the fantasies, these extravagant fantasies, the subconscious realizes that those are extravagant fantasies. All right, that's fun. Okay? Doesn't take them too seriously. Shunts them off into a corner of your mind where you can enjoy it, but you won't get a strong effect from it. But when you really start to come up against an area that really means a real change out here in the world, now, wait a second, then you may feel some resistance. Well, that's where you can, you know, do things to be in your mind even more creative. Now, this woman I was talking about, she went off on her own and worked on that. If she'd stayed and we were working on it together, we would have unraveled it little bit by little bit in bits and pieces where she could have believed. Okay? Now, if she couldn't break the bonds herself, I would have helped her create perhaps a superhero coming in the back window, okay, and cutting the bonds. Or a little mouse that was hiding in the bottom of the car that really had a sense of rapport and came up and chewed the bonds loose. There's always a way to do it. There's always a way to expand or start changing your self-image. You're never stuck unless you decide at some point you're stuck. Your imagination is a tremendous tool, but you need to use your creativity with it. So, if you want to be healthy, vibrantly healthy, then you want to work. One way that would be very helpful is to work at creating an imagination of yourself in your daily routine, interacting with the people in the place you are, being healthy. And if you want to stop smoking, the same kind of thing. You need to start out by being able to imagine yourself going through the things that you do every day without a cigarette. And that may be difficult if you identify yourself as having a cigarette in your mouth, okay, or your hand. Okay? So in order to break that, one thing is you got to start giving the subconscious a different image. Whatever it is, if you want more money in your life, okay, then you've got to be able to imagine yourself having more money in your daily life, where it's really real. Having more in your pocketbook or your purse or your pocket, okay? Paying out a little more at your lunches, okay? Or when you're buying things, or imagine yourself buying gifts for people, or giving money to worthy causes that you believe in, or whatever it is. But in the daily life that your subconscious gets most of its stimulation from, that's where you want to use your imagination to create the change that you want. And the more you do that, the more potent it gets. If you have a relationship, then you want to be able to imagine yourself interacting with that person in the way that you'd like it to be. Okay? Until you can change all the responses that you usually have. And only you can decide the specifics of that kind of program. But the imagination has a very powerful impact on the subconscious. Yes. Yes. This is an appropriate time, right. Visualization versus imagination. Well, not versus. Visualization is a part of imagination. Now, go back to this experience that we did in Bora Bora. If you recall, we did visualization for those of you who, you know, we talked about there's Bora Bora and the Blue Lagoon and the fish down there and there's the island and the birds up in the sky, right? But we also talked about the birds are making sounds. You can hear the cries of the birds and there's the flapping of the sails and the sound of the drums. So we brought in auditory imagination. And then I had your feet on the deck and feeling the swell and then the quietness of the water and the teak on your hand and the breeze against your cheek. And that was kinesthetic imagination. Okay. So if you think to yourself, well, I'm not a good visualizer, you can decide to change that limitation if you want, but you don't have to. If you think that, okay, or if you have that experience, that is your experience for the moment, then you can use the other ones. Okay, use auditory. Or use a sense, a feeling sense of kinesthetic. All right? And everybody has one of those three which are dominant, and sometimes some people have a couple of them, some can do all three real great. That doesn't matter. Use whatever you've got. Imagination really means not just the creating of images, but the creating of sensations. We also had smell on that one too, if you recall. And that's a good one to add. So you can use any of these senses in your imagination to imagine an experience. And sometimes you might find you can't get a picture, you can't get any smells, you can't get anything, but you can get a feeling sense, let's say, of rapport, of wealth, of abundance, or something like that. Good. That's fine. And imagine that if that's all you can do for the moment. Right? But start creating the sensations, because that's what impresses your subconscious. And it begins to believe it's true. And you can do things like, well, you can do anything, you know, skills. I did that with sailing a boat and riding a horse. I suppose in a sense you could call it visual. I tuned into what could be called reincarnational episodes in which I did it well and then recreated those in imagination and then went off and sailed the boat and rode the horse, you know, like an old pro. You can do this with any kind of skills, relationships, increasing your sense of abundance and money, and no limit. No limit at all. To the degree that you reinforced. Huh? Oh, yeah, right. Because I reinforced it. See? All of these things need to be reinforced. Yes? Yeah. If you really vividly imagined it and what it was like and observed the horses so that you could get a sense of what it was all about and imagined it terrifically, yes, you would. You would find yourself doing it easily and automatically. Okay? you would probably come up across a few things that you forgot to imagine. Okay? So that's part of the learning experience, okay? But you'd be able to handle it, especially if you also imagined yourself totally confident and able to handle anything that came along.
Mm-hmm. When I do a lot of small movements on one side of the body, then I just have the imagined movement on the other side, and the other side gets changed over.
That's right.
So imagine you're actually programming that function.
Exactly. That's right. That's right. The subconscious, for all practical purposes, is a living computer. Now, we talk about it as a person sometimes. We talk about computers as persons sometimes. Okay? You ever swear at a computer? Anybody? So, you know, we treat inanimate objects with personalities because it's a convenient way of establishing rapport and dealing with them. Okay? The subconscious is definitely not inanimate, but it's helpful sometimes to treat it as a person, and very helpful to recognize it as its computer-like functions.